Shop OmahaSteaks.com. Give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves for Father's Day. Plus, our listeners get $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. Yes, yes, I do. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. I agree. I love nothing more than hanging out with the fam, going to the pool, drinking, and having some great meats. Omaha Steaks is the best in the biz. Also love their burgers as well. Talked about those a couple weeks ago on here with the burgers. Those smash burgers, man, they're phenomenal. They're pre-packaged, pre-smashed, all that other stuff. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, what's the difference? It's just a patty or whatever. It's not. They're caramelized and seared and all that other fun stuff there. And it literally goes from freezer to bun in 5 minutes. And that's the truth. Anybody out there who's got kids who tear through these things and then you want to make them real quickly and everything else, my wife was able to dial these in and rip through a whole package of, I think it was 16 free is what we got in the last box.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, they're phenomenal. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. They also carry mouth-watering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy-to-prepare comfort food. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit OmahaSteaks.com for guaranteed perfect gifts that deliver legendary quality, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, and you're going to get an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Head on over to that site, man. You can get lost in there, by the way. Bob, is that it up there?
Yeah.
What else do they have? I ordered burgers and steak last time.
I'm messing around with their seafood section here. They got lobster, shrimp, freaking crab.
Do they really?
Yeah, dude.
I haven't ordered that. I haven't ordered that yet. All right.
King crab legs, jumbo lump crab meat if you don't feel like cracking it open.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. I was unaware of that game.
Look at these thick puppies.
Yeah. I was just a steak boy and everything else. I didn't want to say, hey, wife, cook me a lobster for dinner, like Henry VIII or something like that. But I will now. Shit, if they can just drop it off at the house, that'd be great. I didn't want to go to the fucking grocery store and get it, which is exactly what Omaha Steaks does. They just drop it off right at your doorstep.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax, CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. hungover in Miami.
This pop filter is better than the one I had yesterday.
Is it?
Yeah, it's tighter. It's more like it's more formed. I like it better.
Okay.
Well, Dan,
not gonna lie,
I bought them at different times, and then some of them may have been used for sexual objects. And
well,
if you...
Chuck fucking did something. He put one of them on his balls yesterday. So
yes,
hopefully it's not this one.
Yeah, yeah.
I did switch them up.
Did you make sure? Did you make sure he got that one? Like I said.
I'm so hungover. I've got like a little Grammys pillow here. Just in case.
You see how far
he went home early.
I know. Yeah. I did. So
you guys were home by like 1 o'clock, probably.
Right? And I'll tell you why. And here's what happened. So you get nervous meeting a childhood hero, obviously, right? Because it doesn't happen very often. And we've had everybody on the show and their mother, except for one guy.
Are any of your childhood heroes still alive?
Yes.
Because you're old as fuck,
dude. I am 33 years old.
No.
Same age as Jesus Christ.
Nope.
And it was Evander Holyfield. Grew up in Atlanta. Mm. Huge, huge fan. And I was like, man, I don't often go out of my way to go up and chat up celebrities that I don't know. I mean, truthfully, fuck, man, I feel like I've met everybody in this world except for Holyfield. And there he was, and he looked identical. Like, fucking identical to when he was fighting. I've never seen anything like
it. The funny thing is, I saw he was there, and I went meant to go over and talk to him, but we got distracted.
No, some guy led us on a wild goose chase to some fucking bar that had free drinks inside the stadium, and it turned out it was like, yeah, there's no line. There's like 6,000 people in line in there. Chuck and I walked in and looked at him.
I'm not waiting in that line.
Well, I don't need free drinks.
No, no.
Oh,
yeah, Holyfield has looked like he was 65 years old since he was 20.
The thing is, I wanted to ask him, because I wanted to know if he even knew about, because my manager had negotiations to fight him in a kickboxing match.
Oh shit, really?
Back like in 2007, I think it was, I don't know, 2006, 2007. I have to ask.
You were still champ then, were you?
Yeah, they won, but they were talking about. I'm like, yeah, sure. If we work it out, you
pay me $100 million. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was kickboxing. Like that's what I always think. Like if you're gonna mix the sports, right? Why don't you guys meet in the middle?
Right. Yeah. Kickboxing makes sense.
Boxing. You want to be just striking, and you think boxing. All you guys think boxing is better than kickboxing anyway, right?
Yeah.
Your boxers are better than kickboxers, so it shouldn't matter that I can kick, right?
Right.
I just want to be able to kick. Just let me kick. If I'm gonna fight those guys, I'll fight them. No, don't get me wrong. Like they kept taking things away. They kept
I'm
like, okay.
None of those boxers have ever had their fucking lead leg chopped down by fucking.
Oh no, not at all. And I tell everybody, you stand in a boxing stance,
you're done.
You've got one round to knock me out.
Yep.
But if you make it through that round, you won't be able to stand by the end of that round. I promise.
Yeah,
for sure. That would have been really interesting.
I wanted to ask if he even knew about it,
because Holyfield was still relatively young then, right? He was like in his late 40s.
Yeah, he was just finishing up. It was kind of like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I was at a party, actually Bruce Buffer's birthday party.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I was talking to Boss Rutten, and Boss, out of nowhere, was telling that story that he was in negotiations to fight him, Holyfield, too.
Oh, shit. Yes. Holyfield fought until 2011.
He fought.
He's 58.
Yes, dude.
He fought until he was 48 years old.
Wait, I think you guys are forgetting. He's about to fight again.
Yeah.
He's fighting very soon. He's fighting in about a month and a half. And it's McNeely.
In this world, is that a surprise now?
No, but he looked identical to when he was world champion, and that's what threw me off the most, where I was like, oh, shit, I felt like I was in a fucking time machine.
Wait, he was the cruiser and heavyweight undisputed champ at the same time?
Yes. Holyfield was a legend, dude.
I understand he's great, but I didn't even know that was a thing, that you have to have three different belts in two weight classes.
They just did a documentary
on how the fuck do you even
on
fight
ABC.
That much?
The last 2 weeks in a row about Mike Tyson and Holyfield and what had happened with them. And the doc was featuring Tyson, obviously. It was about the story of his life and redemption and everything else. But when he lost to Holyfield, he was like, I just couldn't fucking beat that guy, man. Like, he had me figured out, and that was it. So going up to him last night, because half of his ear is still fucking missing, by the way, which is creepy. It is. Because it's not like one would think maybe he would have got it reattached or put back on. He did not.
He should have gotten an even bigger ear. It's like, fuck you, Mike. What are you going to do, bite this one off?
So I chatted with him, and it was one of those things where I had a couple drinks at that point, and I was like, man, what am I going to talk to Evander Holyfield about? The thing that I used to eat the most as a child was the Burger King breakfast buddies, because we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So
what the fuck is a what?
Holyfield did a whole line for Burger King.
Oh, I remember those commercials. They were terrible.
So last night,
he's a lot better at boxing than he is at doing commercials. I'll say that.
Yeah, but he looked identical. Everything else, and I was like, hey man, great to meet you. I host the show, blah blah blah. And I was like, I'm a huge fan. Grew up in Atlanta, hometown kid. And I was like, man, I love those breakfast buddies. And there was just like a shocked look on his face of like, is this dude fucking with me? Or, and like, I'm wearing a Bush light hat, for Christ's sakes, and a Drinking Bros shirt that looks like Pornhub.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what to do. And we're stuck. Like, it's during that rain delay and we're all backstage. So he can't go anywhere. So then I've got to try to follow up with his breakfast.
So right now, Evander Holyfield is somewhere telling this story to his probably to his therapist. Like, this weird fucker like cornered me at the fight. He wouldn't stop talking about breakfast food from 30 years ago.
Yeah, from some shitty commercial that I hated. I didn't know if he was fucking with me or not.
Like, is he going to bite my other ear off? What the fuck is happening here? Did Mike send this guy after me? Like, is this some kind of fucking conspiracy?
Oh, shit. But all I kept thinking was, all right, if he's coming back, right, to fight, because that's clearly why he was there. He was with a publicist, and they were doing some things. Why
they were talking? They were talking about him fighting Tyson, right?
Yes. So Holyfield said, look, just sign the contract was there. It was done on his side. And he goes, sign the fucking deal. And then that'll be the next fight. So now Holyfield's going to do a tune-up fight, I guess, tune-up at 58, but against Peter McNeely, who fought Tyson back in the day. And then hopefully they're saying maybe by, you know, November, which is a hot month for boxing, to get Holyfield-Tyson together.
There was a problem with, right, with when they tried to do that with outside of Triller.
Correct. And so Mike ditched Triller. Yeah,
and I think they had some issue with that. I don't know.
Yeah, so he ditched Triller and then created this thing called Legends of the Legends League or League of League 11. Yeah, it's LOL.
That's the video game.
Yes,
Legends League is what he created. I thought that was in like combination with Triller. I thought they owned both, or they were the same thing.
So he split off from that and is doing it with that, and he's trying to set the fight up on his own, which is never a good idea. And my thinking was, because
the idea is you're the promoter
and you're getting that money.
You get both cuts.
Correct.
Right. You're doing the whole. You're getting the whole cut.
But that takes a lot of work, and I don't think people realize what that is. So whether or not that fight happens or not, I don't know. But it got me to thinking after watching last night's fight. Why couldn't you fight Holyfield? You both look great. Like, you both could.
You know, my thing is, if I'm gonna fight a boxer, if the only advantage I could have really would be, I'd like to fight him bare knuckle.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Because we could do that too.
Because I'm used to punching people with small gloves or no gloves.
Like, what is it, 6 ounces?
I grew up doing nothing on 4 ounces. But I'm used to hitting the bag. I've fought in bare knuckle. And my hands are used to it. A lot of boxers, like,
they're all wrapped up.
They've been wrapped up their whole career, and they break their hands early in those fights.
Yeah.
Like, Paulie Maggiore.
Yes.
Sorry, brother, buddy. I probably butchered your name. But
I do it all the time on the show.
I mean, he's a good dude. I hung out with him in Saudi Arabia. Nice guy. But like you say, broke his hand in the first round, which for me, I'm like, that would be one of the advantages.
I mean, the guy that owns Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship here in Miami actually has been reaching out about getting you to do it. He wants you to come do interviews and commentate and shit, but if you want to wail on somebody, why not?
If you want to do it. So I watched it. I watched the opening fight they had, and it was entertaining as shit, man.
Yeah,
it's
wild.
I loved it, man.
It's wild. Pitbull and Shaq just bought like 30% of the company, I think.
And it's a blast to watch. Because it looks like a fucking Brad Pitt movie where you're just taping up knuckles. That's it. Good luck.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know how like you sanction that. Is it the gaming commission?
I don't know. I think it depends.
It was in Florida.
I think that's where it's at. I mean, I think some places do. Some places probably don't.
I mean, you probably couldn't do that in Vegas. They're pretty strict about what they allow combat sports wise.
Right. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because that was the thing they asked at the press conference last night for Floyd Mayweather, which we'll get to that fight in a minute. Is why Miami? And he said Nevada refused to sanction that fight. So I was shocked. He was just like, dude. He goes, I'm a Las Vegas dude. All I do is fight in Vegas. And he goes, once they refuse to sanction it, he goes, why wouldn't they start looking at other venues?
Why wouldn't they sanction that?
It's a great question. I wonder if it was the weights.
I don't know enough about it could be the weight. Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty big disparity.
It probably comes down. I shouldn't speak for him, I guess. But I guess it would come down to some kind of rules that they have. They don't want to break their, like, bend their rules for anybody.
Right.
Kind of trying to do like a, right. We're not bending our rules for anyone, even though this is an exhibition. And it's other, you know, we're not bending rules for anybody.
Well, they're losing a lot of fucking money.
Yeah,
well,
it takes a lot of tourism.
But you're also talking about a guy, you're having a guy with no fights, basically. Mm-hmm. Fighting a guy with a professional guy with 50 fights, like if there's not, if you know, that could be a bad recipe for a guy getting hurt.
And their
job is technically to protect the athlete,
right?
So
protect the athlete from himself.
As it turns out, he did get hurt a little bit.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, last night Mayweather Logan Paul, your thoughts first, because I was actually impressed. With Logan,
Look, man, nothing else. Logan came out. He fought tough. I mean, he got hit hard. Like I saw him get hit hard quite a few times, and he kept coming. He wasn't gonna quit. He kept coming after him. He did his best. I mean, he was fighting a guy. There was a snowball chance in hell he's gonna beat Mayweather.
Right.
But to survive, I think it's a moral victory to make it through the whole fight.
And he landed some good shots.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he looked a lot more squared away this time than he did in his last fight, for sure. Like, he made progress. Kind of like, I mean, Jake did, too.
Yeah.
Against Askren. He did. It wasn't just that Askren walked into a punch.
He's going to run into trouble with someone with heavy hands.
Yes.
Because Logan or Jake?
Logan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, like, he likes to drop those hands when he's throwing his jab.
His left jab comes out and his right hand is next to his hip.
Correct,
every
yeah.
single time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
When I first started, I used to have that problem from the old school. I did old school karate, so you get it happen.
Right.
Pulling your punch to your hip.
Back
and
to
like,
you,
and
yeah,
you start,
yeah.
And they start doing that, you're like, wait, oh, nope, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you got a good trainer, they'll be slapping you in the side of the head every time you drop your hand when you jab, right? I mean, that's right. Like they. What's that? The pad that goes on your hand. I've seen them do that quite a bit. They just pop you in the side of the head every time you do it. Clearly, they haven't been doing it to him because his hand, like literally every time, it drops.
Oh. Yeah, but look, it's inexperience, and you know,
yeah,
he
doesn't
know
no,
any
no,
better.
No,
I don't know. No, I don't know how much longer he fights, though. To be honest with you, Logan, he chatted about it a little bit, and he goes. Man, after this Mayweather thing, like I don't really know where to go or what to do from here.
There's nowhere to go. I mean, for him, I mean, he did. I mean, to do that against him, I mean, I thought he did a really respectful speech at the end. He did a really that was a nice.
His press conference was awesome. Like he said and did all the right things, and he made everybody love him last night, which is odd because typically people hate him online or at least pretend to hate him online. But you know, in his press conference,
well, that's what online is, though.
Yes.
You know how many times I've had someone say something bad to me online, and then if I decide to comment for fun,
yeah,
they're like, "Oh man, I'm just trying to." Oh man, I'm a big fan, and I don't know. It's like, dude, then why are you?
Why bother?
Why are you lipping right. off?
Yeah, why bother? With that being said, there is a clip that is circulating around the internet tonight that. Floyd accidentally knocked out Logan and then held him up.
It was at the end of one of the rounds.
We just saw the footage literally right before we came on air. I couldn't tell. Look,
what round was it?
You're the expert in this. It looked like 4 or 5 to me.
If it was 5, then he cost me fucking money.
I was just about to say is who's going to get really mad?
Yeah.
So I had knockout 5.
I put 200 on 5 and 6, but I also put 300 on the draw, which won, so I did fine. Yeah, I made $3,000.
You got the, you got, so you can't be mad. He saved your draw.
Yeah, he saved your draw.
Kind of, but I would have made more money. It was plus 12. Well, it was the same.
Well, it depends on what round it was.
Yeah, it was actually the same for five, and it was plus 12.
Twelve to one.
Yep. So I don't know. For five, it was still 10 though. So who cares?
Yeah, so
it was the same either way.
And you put more on the draws. So you're up. Yeah, actually saved you.
Maybe he knew somehow.
Hey, you should save him. You should send him a little gift basket.
Yeah, I'll send him a fruit basket.
You saw the clip. What do you think? Is it legitimate or not?
It did. The short clip I saw, it didn't finish. It was weird. It stopped off really quick.
Yep.
Looked like he was going down. But I would like to see it on a bigger screen. Same.
And you can pull footage from anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there was with the crowd, the way it was and the way they had us set up. I mean, I wasn't close enough to the ring to see his eyes. When I saw Jake Paul fight Askren, I was front row. I mean, I could tell you he was gone.
Yeah.
When they stopped that fight, he was standing. He wasn't there. He didn't know he was there. Right. He was standing because he's too tough for his own good. He just got up. He's still tough. He's a tough guy. He got up and he's just standing there to fight again. He wanted to fight, but he didn't know where he was.
No.
So I can read that in his eyes. But I was clear, but that was ringside. So from where we were at, I missed that whole thing. I mean, but I was you're watching from far away.
We were in like row 8, dude. Chuck is used to sitting inside the ring. We were row 8.
I know, but what I'm saying, I'm talking about for reading eyes.
Once you get past it, I get up front row.
I get up and walk forward and make sure.
Sure.
Try to see. I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
I've been doing martial arts since I was 12. I've been knocking people out since 14. I can see in your eyes when I hurt you.
Right.
Like your eyes get that gloss over, that glossy look.
Yeah.
And so, I can look up and go, oh, okay, yeah, he's hurt.
Yeah.
He's not looking very
good. It's hard to tell on this one, it is. I mean, his eyes look a little blurry, but to be honest, he was gassed after the first round. He was already gassed.
The short clip that we had really looked like he was falling down, down. Like it looked like he was actually dropping.
Yeah,
but he also did that a lot. Whenever Floyd would land a flurry, he would lean into him and bend over at the waist. So yeah, he was doing that all night.
He would clench a lot,
but he didn't. That was a little.
I never like videos when they cut off like that.
I don't either.
It's like these cop videos where you see guys. They start right when the cops beating the guy. Right. Okay, what happened before that?
Where was the other 13 minutes?
Yeah, where was that? Wait, how did we get to here?
Yeah.
Because, it's like I get buddies used to go, oh, man, that cop, he's an asshole. He gave me a jaywalking ticket.
Were you jaywalking?
Let me tell you something, bro. If he's a buddy of mine, he gave you a jaywalking ticket, you're an asshole.
Yeah, you did something.
You failed the sidewalk attitude test.
Like, do you think
he was trying to be? He's a guy that goes out of his way. Like, if you get a drunk in public, he gives you a little note on the bottom. If you meet me downtown and do some cleanup for an hour,
right,
or 2 hours, I'll write it off. We'll write off your ticket. He gives drunk in public gets that.
People think cops are out there writing tickets for no. Do you think they want to show up in court and deal with that?
Fuck
bullshit?
No. Or the
do you
paperwork.
Think they stay after. You have to stay after your shift and do all the paperwork.
Every time someone tells me, I got this bullshit ticket for this, I'm like, wait, so what did you do? What did you say when the cops came up? Enlighten me. Because that sounds like a pretty asshole move to write a ticket for that.
The only one is in L.A. L.A., they have to make money, so the DUIs there, they give...
I'm not talking DUIs. Like, look, look, when I was in San Luis Obispo, my buddies, I had buddies in all the police, the CHP, sheriffs. The one thing they say is, look, I don't care what you do, just don't drive drunk. We can probably take care of it. We can probably fix anything else. Everything else, nothing I can do if you're DUI.
Yeah.
So, don't be an idiot.
These LA cops, though, they would set up checkpoints on La Cienega in Wilshire. Yeah. And it's right by all the agencies because they knew the agents and their assistants would go to lunch and booze or whatever, and then boom.
Oh, well, look, it's 5 o'clock look, in the afternoon. Look, listen, we're setting him up 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Look, I live in San Luis Obispo. Like, there's one, there's basically most of the bars are on two streets.
Yeah.
So then, and then I used to work when I was bartending for a long time. I'd be going to Denny's afterwards to go out of work. I got pulled over probably once a week for a long time until they figured out my car. Because I was driving there, I was like, oh, they have some random reason to pull me over, but they were trying to see if I was drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't, but it was like every time they pull you over, like, oh, I just got off work. I was like, oh, okay, all right, see you later. Go ahead, go on. You know, but it was like
the state's out of money.
Randomly.
Yeah, they're doing random shit, but.
Well, that's the thing we have in our neighborhood. Like right now, with all the COVID, in our neighborhood, I get people. They're driving around our neighborhood. They get well, I forgot to put my daughter's tag on her new tag on her BMW. Right? Mm-hmm.
Like the year on
and she parked in my neighborhood. They went and wrote us a ticket for it. I'm like,
your HOA did?
Yeah, no, the sheriffs were driving
that. That's fucking terrible.
Are you guys serious? Like you can run the tag, you run and you can see I paid it.
Yeah.
But you're gonna write it because it doesn't have it on there. Like really? Like, but they're doing that to a lot of people in our neighborhood because they know we'll just pay it and it's whatever.
Yeah, that's all. Like, think about the idea of government fines in the first place. That doesn't make any sense. Why would the government be able to take your money because of some stupid shit like that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you have to pay a punitive fine?
All of it's money.
You know, I'm well-to-do neighborhood, so it's like they're going through and they're all of a sudden they never had it. They were all of a sudden we got they're in there ticketing people for. I mean, they have two guys because they didn't have their golf carts registered and are on the street. Street legal golf carts.
No what? Way. You have to have
a golf cart. If you have a street legal golf cart, it has to be registered if it's on the street. And they're parked and they're in the neighborhood. They're not taken out of the neighborhood. They're just in the neighborhood. It's
Are you in a gated community?
Yeah, gated, Hidden Hills.
Fuck, I wouldn't let them in. If I was the security guard at the gate, I'd be like, no, dude, the only reason you're here is for
unless
bad.
Somebody called 911. Yeah. Like, you're not coming in to patrol and write tickets in the neighborhood. Fuck
man.
That.
Hidden Hills be like that, though, dude. It does, dude. It's Calabasas, Hidden Hills, all that shit, man. It's crazy. Look, Logan's going back to fucking Calabasas.
Is he moonwalking back?
That knockout, by the way, is questionable, that footage we watched. We'll see later. The one that was not, though, was the Chad Ochocinco. And again, I was in row 8, Chuck, so you know I saw everything with my own goddamn eyes like a human in this world who would rate ringside tickets. Whatever. Ochocinco got knocked down with a pretty vicious punch. He was fighting a real boxer. He did well enough, but then when he got back up...
By real boxer, I mean a guy, a journeyman, not even a... I don't know what you call a guy that's 3-20, but it's like a...
That someone who doesn't give up, Chuck. That's
yes.
Someone who doesn't quit.
Someone who doesn't give up.
He's like Forrest Gump. He's still running coast to coast.
It's great, dude. But
I get nothing against some of those guys. You need those guys too, but especially in boxing, because I don't know if they still do that padding the record thing. Like they got to. Like, look, we went to the Canelo fight, right?
Yep.
Just on the main card.
Yeah.
The closest odds on the fight, on the main card. The main card was 4-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but most of them were like 8.
I mean, three thousand plus.
One of the guys fell down, remember? And he's just like, I'm too hurt.
He won that fight.
Yeah. Oh, he did. Yeah. Yeah.
The rapid punch guy.
He quit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just quit.
And then the other guy had the delayed knockout and then from the body shot, right?
Yeah.
The little guy.
Delayed knockout from a body shot's normal.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That happens.
But it didn't look like he got hit that hard, to be honest.
No.
Like, it looked like it winged him, but it must have got him right on the liver because he went down.
Here, you catch the liver, you don't need to hit it very hard.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, it didn't even look like he made solid contact on the side. It was like over here on the side, but he went down like a fucking
It looked like the fight was almost going to keep going, and then it was like, oh, no. That's over. That's done.
Yeah. But with Ochocinco last night, once he knocked him down and he got back up, Chad looked at the clock. Or, you know, I'm calling him Chad by his former name, his government name.
Well, you guys are friends, Ross.
Yeah, I feel like we are.
No, his name is still Chad Ochocinco. Okay.
I didn't know if it was just Ochocinco.
Yeah.
The boxer looked at him, and it was like a nod or like a wink. And then the next three punches, so he could finish out the fight, were right in the chest, very light taps, and like he clearly let him go for.
Well, it seemed like they were friends.
It did, yeah. It was.
Well, you know, I don't know, man. A guy like that is like not really, you know. Even if they didn't have an agreement, like it's kind of like, you know, I don't need to put him away. I won this.
Yeah, fight. What's the point?
I don't need to put him away. He gave me a chance to be out here in front of these people and make money.
100%.
You know, and get something. I don't need to try to kill him.
And Ocho Cinco posted this morning. He goes, "Man, that was a blast last night. Get to tell my kids that I made $1 million in 8 minutes." And he was at McDonald's. He posted a thing.
It wasn't 8 minutes though, was it? Four rounds, three minutes?
Four rounds, 12 minutes, yeah.
Oh, well, I thought it was...
Was it 2-minute rounds?
No, I thought he was doing two.
He did three.
It was three, yeah. He can't count that well, obviously.
Well, he can count the 85 in Spanish.
Yeah, and he can also count that $1 million he got last night.
Yeah, he can pay somebody to count for him.
Yeah.
Shit on your lip there, guy. Right there.
I'm a mess, dude. We went to Denny's last night.
Oh, we both burnt our mouths on...
What does going to Denny's last night have to do with you having shit on your mouth now?
Burned our mouths on the hottest sandwiches of all time, and it was
we're just crunching these down like outside waiting on our Uber, and we're just it's bad, it's like microwave pizza.
This sounds pathetic.
It was.
I'm gonna give you a little warning. I bartended for a long time in San Luis Obispo. There was like Taco Bell or Denny's, basically.
Yes, pretty much.
There was a burrito place open called TA's, but that was different for a long time. That was all your choices.
Yeah. Yes. So that was our only choice last night.
But here's the thing. Just a little word of advice. Breakfast.
We did the Grand Slamwich.
Yeah. Have you had a Grand Slamwich? That's new.
No.
It's the Grand Slam breakfast into a sandwich, and it was delightful.
Well,
I thought he was saying it was like bad food.
No, it was great. It was amazing. We just burnt our mouths because the ham was so hot.
God, you guys are
fucking idiots.
It was
like a full slice of ham.
Both of us at the same time.
I can see
Denny's breakfast is
fat retard. Continuing to shovel the hottest food in the world into your fucking stupid mouths.
I was putting the hash browns into my mouth to try to cool down because those are a little bit cooler than the
sandwich.
But then the crispiness was cutting the roof of my mouth right after I burnt it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's like Pineapple Express, where homeboy's crying and eating that burger on the swing.
Exactly.
That was exactly what it was. So I, like, full disclosure, because you guys went out and partied. After the fight, we went to Denny's and called it. First of all, it felt like it was about 80, 85 last night. It was so hot that I was sweating, and then it started raining. I didn't leave because it was an open air stadium because it felt better just to be in the rain at that
point. Until it dumped for a good 4 or 5 minutes. Pouring. But other than that, I liked the rain. It was nice.
Same.
Yeah. But we went out to, we went over to Hard Rock and went to this club called Dare, D-A-E-R.
Okay.
It's owned by, what's his name? Sean Morton, I think.
Sean Morton and his family.
They own a bunch of clubs all over the place. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I saw pictures with you.
Good time.
You were with Logan Paul at one point last night.
Logan and Jake.
Congratulations. I went out and saw him. Yeah.
What did he say to you? What did Logan say to you?
He didn't say much. I mean, just say, I congratulate him. He said, thanks.
Fucking exhausted. I'll tell you that. Every time he like went to, and he's, what is he, 27? Every time he stood up, he looked like me standing up. You know what I mean? And every time he sat back down, he would
I got respect for him. He was out there. He fought out there with one of the baddest guys on the planet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, to the things though, I think is of why he got gas, because a lot of people were saying that. Why is he get gas? He's trains and he's fucking ripped and all that stuff. Here's my personal guess on it. Last night, he had to cut weight to get to 189.5, or else he was getting fined $100,000. Mm. After that, back in the wrestling days, he was probably used to it. But then to cut weight, I saw him at the weigh-in, and you know when guys just kind of look a little too emaciated, where you're like, oh, shit, you probably went down to like the last second.
That's interesting, because I didn't see any video or talk about the weight cut coming up to the fight. If it was really going to hinder him like that, I thought we maybe would have saw some footage, something.
Well, that's why it was in the contract. Yeah. So if it was 100,000 per pound. So clearly they didn't want him coming in at 210 or whatever.
No, I'm also surprised we didn't see anything about
him. I don't know if he didn't want that to be seen as some kind of excuse or some shit, because he doesn't, I mean, for how silly all of this is, he's not been a bitch about any of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's not tried to fucking
Logan
bitch his way out of it.
No, not at all. The other part about it
is... But that's a real thing, especially if you cut weight like that and it's affecting you, and then you're in fucking 85 degrees humidity, you're going to get gas.
I don't know. He had a lot of time.
We were sweating last night.
But here's the thing, though, too. Like, I mean, Mayweather did a good job of making him carry him.
Yeah.
When they were tied up, he always had the undercut. Mm-hmm. Mayweather was always hanging on him.
Because Mayweather,
he needs to hang on him, get him tired.
Yeah,
yeah. Chuck brought me over and was like, "Look, Logan's trying to lean on him, and then basically Mayweather's doing a duck under."
Yeah, and
then
getting back on him. Yeah, yeah. He was like, he may as well have been on a baby Bjorn on Logan's chest the whole time, right?
Right. Yeah,
I mean,
right.
He was like seriously holding him up, except for when he got hit in the face. And
but we were sweating so profusely at one point, and they had given out like towels when we walked in. And I was like, ah, shit. Whenever they give out a towel in an event, you're not in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
At a Steelers game, you know it's like, hey, you're gonna sweat your ass off. Good luck.
I was dabbing my forehead like a Southern gentleman.
Dude, yeah, I had like, the bandana tied around my wrist. But with that, you know, I wasn't in a fucking ring boxing for 8 rounds. So yes, that's why I think Logan was gassed.
And by the way, anybody saying that, they wonder why he got gassed in 8 rounds. First of all, it's a big show. It's out in front of everybody. It's a big thing. There's a lot of, you got a guy trying to tear your head off.
Yep.
You're worried about getting hurt. I mean, it's new to him. He has done this a lot.
Yeah.
This isn't a seasoned pro. It's not his 50th fight.
His second or third fight. Well, and then he's going against Floyd Mayweather.
Second fight against somebody that actually has fought someone before, right?
The first real fight.
Yeah.
Yes,
correct.
To be honest, first real fight.
Chuck, same with Icebreakers Podcast. You've got sponsors. We got sponsors who put this whole shit wagon on the air. First and foremost is ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Dan, every time we're in one of these weird hotels, hungover, I'm pissed off that I'm not a goddamn ghost bed. The pillows, I will beg you to buy these fucking pillows and tell me if there's better pillows on the goddamn planet than these. There's like 90 in my house, and I love these fucking things. I don't want to travel like a Japanese woman with my fucking pillow, so I don't do that. But it's a nice little surprise when I get home and I am able to lay my head down on a ghost bed pillow. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. Get yourself some sheets, pillows, mattresses, adjustable bases. Get it all. Get it all with a 36-month pay-as-you-go no-interest program, too, if your credit is decent, if you're a decent human being. Bundle it all together. There's a calculator on the side of it. It'll give you a running total of how much the shit is. And you're good to go. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. Get a new mattress. Get a new life. I like that one.
Yeah.
Get a new mattress. Get a new life. Next up, this is the lifesaver of our day today.
Of every
our
week.
Life of every single day. LiquidIV.com. Whew, that's promo code Drinking Bros for 25% off anything.
I keep a handful in my bag whenever I travel, and that's one of the things. When I first get home from being on the road, I unpack my shit, start laundry and all that bullshit. But the first thing I do with my actual backpack is put more Liquid IV into it.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Everywhere I go.
Especially the immunity one, because it's... You're just in a fucking disease factory everywhere you go now.
Yeah.
Even people are fucking wearing masks and shit still on planes, which is dumb. But still, I 2 weeks ago, we all got colds.
Yeah.
From being wherever the fuck we were, in Dallas or wherever the fuck we were, I don't remember. But
when you travel that much and you're, because we never wear masks and then you have to wear them for the fucking plane and you're just like, dude, I feel like shit. I literally drink a Liquid IV every single fucking morning. I start off with coffee and then I usually drink an entire liter of water and I use a Liquid IV. I don't even give a shit which flavor it is because they're all great. I've had zero problems with any product they've ever made there. I'm one of the biggest Liquid IV fans on the planet. So much so I fucking actually reached out to them. I was like, hey, I want this. It was at my buddy Nick's house and I got hooked on it and I've had a packet every single morning. Look, I know you can get it in bulk at Costco and that's fine, right? If that's what you do. You can get your Liquid IVs, Hydration Multiplier Plus, Immune Support in bulk at Costco. That's fine. You can do all of that at Costco. Or you can order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code Drinking Bros at liquidiv.com. 25% off. I'm not telling you not to go to Costco, but they're not going to give you a discount there. They will at liquidiv.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 25% off.
And people just don't, I think people don't realize it. I used to, guys would come in and want to spar, you know, at the gyms, football players, whatever, friends of mine. And we're, yeah, sure, put the gloves on. We put the gloves on, and they just start swinging hard, and like trying to hit me, like, and I would just be covering up and laughing. And then about 30 seconds in, they're like, man, they can barely lift the gloves up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and they're like, oh, man, are we done? No, we got 2.5 more minutes. Here we go.
Yeah.
By the end, I'd be tapping them in the face. They couldn't even, they're like, let me hit them instead of picking up their gloves. I'm just, you know, just playing, just tapping them, slapping them and stuff.
Did you ever fight in the old UFC rules where it was just an unlimited time? There were no rounds and shit?
No, the longest I did was I did one 30-minute round down in Brazil.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Bare knuckle. No
30
rules.
Minutes?
No, bare knuckle, no rules. Well, almost all of those. No eye gouging, no biting, no grabbing the ropes.
Did you win?
Yeah.
How long did it take you?
30 minutes.
Holy shit, the whole 30.
Yeah, it ended with it. It was actually pretty. I was IBC 6 or 7. IBC, but anyway,
yeah.
It was like there was a ring, a regular ring. But
like a square ring or an octagon?
A square ring. Square ring. And they had a net from the bottom rope diagonally down to the edge of the thing. So you wouldn't slide out of the.
Oh room. Yeah, I see.
Oh like, yeah.
It was a diagonal, right?
But it wasn't like a cage, like.
No, so by the end of the fight, I ended the fight with him stuffed on the back, with my knees on, leaning out of the. I was leaning out of the cage.
Yeah.
Punching him in the face, like, so I'm like, he's like a, like stuck in a fish net.
You know? And they didn't stop the. I guess there's no rules.
I looked up and I'm like, are you gonna stop it? Okay, no, okay, go, because I'm a finish. You know, okay, here we go. It was the funny thing, and I mean, he's a tough guy, man. He didn't no quit in him. He looked like the elephant man that I stayed at the hotel. I walked by him. I'm like,
yeah. Sorry about your bad luck there,
like this and here. And the thing was like, long, it's a long story, but anyway, but I'm not, the referee was his manager. I'm like, don't you want to stop this and save him? Like, maybe it's a conflict of interest. He got less money if he stopped and so let it go. We're in Brazil. He might win a decision.
Yeah. Chuck's serious about that. When you're in another country, you do not know what's going to happen.
Well, no, because I mean, right before that, there had been a big fight where a guy, like, everyone's like, someone got won a decision, and a Brazilian guy won a decision against somebody. Everyone's like, what fight were they watching again? Like, everybody, like, wait, what?
They must be using the same refs that work at FIFA, right? That's the most corrupt organization on earth.
Oh, yeah. FIFA. Fuck. Every, on
it's
earth.
Like every 2 or 3 years, they have to fire half of their people and apologize.
Yeah.
Just do it the right way, asshole. It's the most popular sport on earth. It makes the most money of any sport on earth. Can you not just make that money and be okay with it?
No.
It's
Dan,
in
the
Qatar,
people who,
dude.
Yeah, the people the who run FIFA get fired after they embezzle billions of dollars, and then they go spend those billions of dollars.
That's true. They never go to jail. None of them have ever gone to jail.
Never go to jail. And
like 3 years ago,
the next one's
the
in
CEO
Qatar, and they paid like, what? $400 million to somebody, and
who knows, Ross?
Yeah.
Who knows?
They all get fired.
The amount of money that they make is crazy.
Oh yeah,
I don't know who. Would you go to Qatar?
Billions. I whipped Qatar for sure. Yeah,
really.
Qatar is like one of the closest allies to the U.S. in the Middle East.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So that's Qatar, is it a cool place?
Qatar, UAE, Kuwait. Those are all pretty safe places to go.
Okay.
Super, super awesome nightclub. It's like the most bougie of the.
No
shit.
It's
of
actually.
Yeah.
I've actually.
When you say that, like I was gonna say, I know a couple of DJ friends that are.
Oh yeah, like, guitar like, all the time. Yeah.
I'm like,
it's better. Than
I've heard of it. So if I've heard of it through them, I'm guessing it's a popular place.
It's better than Saudi Arabia. I'll tell you that.
Do they call themselves guitarists?
Qatarin, maybe. I don't know. That's a good question.
Go guitarist. That sounds better. Lead guitarist. You know, and then.
No, it's cuh, though.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Q.
Yeah, lead cutarist, you know? It's a nice play on words, Dan. It's
all
I'm
like
saying.
It. You know I don't like puns, so.
I know you don't.
I don't know why you continue to do this.
So you met with Jake last night.
You had a good conversation with Jake.
Yeah, how did that go?
I had a conversation. Well, I just talked to him. I said, look, man. I'm like, he's like, hey, whoa. Cause I was walking in the thing. I'm like, look, man. Look, man. I got no problem with you, bro. I respect what you're doing. You're fine. Mm-hmm. I got no problem. You're fine. I was having fun. Like, if you want people want to talk about it. I mean, I didn't want to offend you. I'm not trying to. I figured you play this game. You want to troll MMA guys. I'm helping you promote. Like, that's one of those things I like. It's okay.
Shit talk is fun. That's like half the reason. That's half the reason men even do sports. Men continue to play sports long after they're relevant at that sport, or even good at it, or even capable of doing it, just so they could talk shit to their friends about it.
Right.
Like, literally.
And that's the thing. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just having fun.
No, you're more into hurting people's faces.
And honestly, if I'm saying anything on the internet. Anyone that I'm commenting to you or anything on the internet, I'm having fun. Like, because I get people, oh, man, don't even respond to those guys saying that.
And yeah.
Like, trust me, I don't care. Like, if I don't know you, we're not friends, I really don't give a fuck what you think.
And he was cool and it was a good conversation.
Yeah. I said, okay. I guess maybe it's the thought, like, I was trying to be mean-hearted. I don't know. Maybe he thought it was.
Well, he got bashed after that fight, because after he knocked out Askren, they were like, fight a real boxer. And he's like, fuck you guys, dude.
I get it. But here's the thing. They said it was a fix. You know, it wasn't a fix.
No.
Askren got knocked out.
Yes.
Now he's a horrible striker. I mean, everyone knows that. But why? But like, they're doing it smart. Like that's one thing I always tell people that you come on. It used to happen a lot in MMA because guys would come over from different sports.
This is what we talked about.
There's
yesterday.
Three different disciplines, right? There's wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and striking. And guys would come over from one with a big name in one. Mm. Like, so that I'm a big jiu-jitsu guy. There's a lot of big jiu-jitsu guys that would come over, and all of a sudden they get knocked the hell out. Because they come right in the first fight to fight somebody that's a fucking stud, you know. It's like
that's not good for them or the sport. Yeah. Like if they're actually that good at one skill and they can learn the other ones, you're fucking up their career and your business.
You bring them in against somebody they can beat, so if they make mistakes the first couple times.
Like Cowboy Cerrone, for example.
They can catch up.
That one's for Giorgio.
Yeah, that's for Giorgio.
Just kidding. Cowboy just gets fed to the wolves.
Yeah.
Every time.
He's not a stepping stone fighter. He's not an easy
I feel bad for the guy. It's like, is somebody need a title shot? Let him go fight Cowboy first.
Yeah, Cowboy, once you get in there and get destroyed.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, man?
It's crazy.
Give this guy a real fight.
And then they'll give him like $80.
Seriously, he made like
for
fucking,
real. He made nothing
he made
on
like,
that last fight.
$500,000 maybe.
Oh, yeah, well, on that McGregor fight.
Oh, in the McGregor fight.
The McGregor fight. McGregor got $1 million.
On his last one, I think he made like 80. I think it was 80.
Yeah.
That's not enough for a guy with that kind of history.
It's crazy.
Because people, it should be about, it's a spectator sport. If you get eyeballs, you get paid. Yeah. People tune in to watch Cowboy fight.
Yeah.
Like, he is wildly popular, despite his, going down.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But it's never made sense in UFC the way they pay fighters, frankly. I mean, we like Dana.
No.
But the way they pay fighters has always been weird to me. I don't get it.
It's hard to know exactly how they pay fighters.
Right, because of the bonus structures and all this
stuff. And the way it's done, because it's not public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you're getting paid is not public. What I was getting paid was not public.
Well, the public information is never accurate, anyway.
Yeah, it's funny because going with Floyd, Floyd tried to get me like talk shit and try to get me to fight one of his boxers. Like, oh, I haven't fight this boxer for $1 million. Like, because I was getting paid by the Athletic Commission $500,000. I'm like, why am I going to take a big pay cut to fight a boxer? Like, why does it make any sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But he thinks, you know, he's looking at that thinking, this give me a double my pay, right?
Right.
But it wasn't even close.
Right,
right.
So that wasn't even the same ballpark.
Yeah, because Francis Ngannou this morning goes, dude, a guy from YouTube.
That fucking guy's an animal.
Has two fights and made $100 million last night. And he goes,
did he make $100 million too?
That's what they're speculating. The numbers have to come in, obviously, but they go, and I can't make that fucking much money. And then it was just one of those emojis where he's kind of twisting his chin. Well, like, how much does Francis make?
Listen, here's the thing.
How much does Francis make?
Francis needs to start talking shit.
It comes down to it's business, right?
Yeah.
Like, look, the thing that Logan and those guys do is they're pulling in people that don't watch.
They're entertainers.
And, like, it's the same thing Conor McGregor did.
Oh, yeah.
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
They brought people in that wouldn't watch fighting.
Right.
They're not, because the thing is, you have your hardcore fans.
Yep.
As long as you got good fighters, they're going to watch.
Yep.
Okay. Then you got people that somewhat you know, different, right? Mm-hmm. Then you got the next year, like, occasionally watch fights. Mm. Right. But then you have the people that can draw in, the people that don't watch fights at all. They watch it because it's an event.
Right.
Yes.
Kind of like a Mayweather fight. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You know, how many people are there that never watched boxing in their life? The only time they watched boxing was a Mayweather or right. a Tyson.
Yeah.
Or Tyson. Yeah. You know, everybody watched.
Yeah. Same with you. You're the one that got me into UFC.
But it's because of the branding, right? Like, yeah. You're a fucking tough guy with a goddamn mohawk. Then you knock people the fuck out all the time. That is right. Something that people like. That we've had gladiators for as long as human beings have existed.
Yeah.
Right.
We love that shit. Yeah. As a society,
but that's the thing. Like, people that are able to bring from those things, they're worth right. more money. Why is this guy paying more?
It's not about talent, though. Like, Henry Cejudo is a good example. Yeah. He dominated that fucking weight class and didn't make it fucking dime.
It's narrative. Narrative is so important that we're kind of forgetting. The same way Conor McGregor could build that name and build that stardom at a smaller weight class
right.
is because he had an attitude. There's a narrative behind him, like, coming over from Ireland.
There was also... when he got the shot, he won impressively and made
yes.
it.
Yeah,
yes.
When he needed
that left hand is like, no joke.
When he needed to, he won very impressively.
Yeah,
and that's a big deal. There's a lot of guys that have some hype behind them and they got some build and they're ready to go. And then
Lesnar was like that. Everybody was super excited about Lesnar and he just didn't look. I mean, he looked like what he should have looked like—an unpolished fighter, right?
Well,
physically talented, but his
biggest problem was he's afraid to get hit. He was scared to get hit.
Why? He's got a goddamn giant.
By the way, he's not a boxer. Like
he's
not
a one fist in front of his face.
By the way, after the Shane Carwin fight,
yeah,
man, there's no question whether or not he has heart. He can take a punch because
you talking about Brock?
Brock,
yeah,
he got knocked down. He was all but out and came back and won that fight.
Yeah.
That's all hard because Carwin hits like a...
That dude's a fucking animal, too.
Yeah, he's an animal. Yeah. He hits like a Mack truck.
Weird to hear. I mean,
people love him still.
But watch
Brock?
Him fight.
Yeah, Brock is awesome.
Watch him fight. Watch.
He's just too tentative.
He's afraid to get hit in that.
But
when,
you don't...
People make fun of me. He doesn't like getting hit in that. But I don't like it in that. I don't dislike it so much that I'm scared to get hit.
Yeah,
right.
Because he should have been able to physically dominate anybody, but he was back on his heels trying not to get punched.
Like,
right?
He's just a super physical specimen. But if you go back and watch his old Minnesota like college wrestling, he wasn't good.
He had a double leg
and he had a stand up. And like he like barely won and he was like way bigger.
Well, that's
than
the problem.
Guy,
when you're that physically talented, you don't learn skills.
You don't have
early
to.
A lot. You know what I mean? Which is what makes.
So
frankly,
you're saying he was a mediocre wrestler? Is that what you're saying?
No, he was a national champion. Well, I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
I'm saying he didn't have the plethora of techniques that some of the modern heavyweights have.
The point of all this is you got to have. You can't just be a good fighter. That's not enough. Like, Ngannou shouldn't be bitching on the internet about it because that looks weak. He should be talking shit to somebody. He should be looking at whomever his next fight is and saying, you know what, fuck that guy. On Instagram every day, fuck you, buddy, or something. Make it fun or whatever you want to do, but you got to make people want to fucking give them a reason other than the fight itself to come watch that fight.
And to your point earlier, my wife doesn't give a shit about UFC, right? But she would come and watch two people, Ronda Rousey and McGregor. Like, that brought... It's just, you're right, the casual fan or just no one who ever watched boxing be like, I see McGregor on the internet. He looks cool. Or Ronda Rousey looks cool. And
especially now in meme culture, it's so easy to meme something and make a brand now. Like these, Cejudo.
I'm not big on that, like the over like bullshit, you know, like if you're a fighter behind it, if you got impressive fights afterwards, it can make something. I mean, some of these ones they're just talking shit, right?
Yeah.
Just popping off. Just
there are some like that. I mean, and then there's like the middle ground.
Like Chael Sonnen.
But
the problem with I love Chael.
Yeah, yeah.
Great guy, but he do all this WWE shit talking.
Yeah.
But then he go out there and he was a throwback to the lay and pray.
Mm. Yeah.
Take guys down and just sit there.
Yeah.
And then how did you get caught in a triangle that many times?
He had that.
It's not that difficult.
We're gonna have to get him on your show.
Love a crossover.
We're gonna have to get him on.
His
show is great.
Posture up.
Use your hips, Joe.
I'm not getting involved in this conversation. This is like a black man correcting another black man or something.
And yeah,
as a white man, I'm not getting involved.
I'll get involved in it. Fuck him.
But that's the thing. He's a cool dude.
Yeah, he is.
He was on. I was on a show one time. And he was out and he was out doing his show performing. And it was right when I was gonna fight again. Mm. And he was popping off about me out there. And I was actually in the back room talking to his mom. She's a big fan. And then he comes in. And he goes, "Hey Chuck, I teed it up for you. If you want to fight, how the kids?" Right after walking out.
He's just playing. Right.
So it's like, I mean,
but that's smart.
Like, that doesn't bother me at all. No.
It shouldn't. It's good business if you can follow through in the ring, right?
But yeah. I think nowadays, I see a lot of times people cross the line too, though.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen guys cross the line.
Some of these stupid.
Some of these guys
like that whole shit with Connor and Khabib where he's talking about his family and shit.
No. Hey, look, that, and here's the thing. I always get like, the only thing, like, about that fight, like them getting a fight afterwards or whatever.
Were you at that fight? We were there.
I wasn't there. Mm. But here's the thing: my difference is I would never have done that out in the ring. Mm. But if you're talking like that about my family, when we get in the back room, I'll lock you. I'll walk by and lock you in a room, and then we'll finish.
Yeah,
no one's gonna break it up.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make sure no one breaks it up. But I ain't playing. Like we had the problem with Tito a long time ago. He said, "I don't date white trash bitches like Chuck." On a radio interview, and I got my buddies in San Diego called me up, told me, I said, look, and long story, got down, I was after he fought Vitor Belfort. He was fighting Vitor Belfort at the time, so I don't know why he was talking shit about me.
Yeah.
But and afterwards, we were at a
wait,
at
didn't
a,
he marry a porn star?
He married a porn star.
A white one.
That was later, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay,
but, so I'm at we're at the club, and they're asking us to squash it, so I walked up, and I said, look here, motherfucker. You ever talk about my family and friends? First off, this is my girlfriend. Apologize.
Yeah.
Secondly, and he's, I wasn't talking about her. I was talking about Juliette Lewis. The fuck is she plays white trash because
Juliette Lewis?
Yeah,
she's
the
rich and famous.
Yeah, I know. But Us Magazine said we were dating, and well, that's what he thought, and that's what he was talking about.
He knows that movie is a movie, right?
Yeah. It's a movie.
Yeah.
Like Woody Harrelson didn't actually kill all those people. Well, he may have. I don't know. That's true.
We don't know.
We don't know. Woody?
But so I said, look, first of all, I apologize. Secondly, you ever talk about my family and friends on a radio interview? I know where you live. I'll come and beat you in your own fucking living room. You got that? He's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm like, all right, man, we're good. Like one of his buddies that I'm friends with still, he goes, man, I don't know. If you did that to me in front of all my friends, I would have fucking punched you just to save face.
Yeah.
But I mean, but that's the way I felt. Like,
maybe Tito just knows he's stuffed over the line.
You cross those kind of lines. But he knew me well enough from back when we trained together. Mm. That he knows that it wouldn't be the first time I showed up at someone's house for fucking.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm not playing. Like, I don't fuck with my people.
More importantly, did you date Juliette Lewis?
No,
fine. That was years ago. I did a movie with her. She's fucking awesome.
Oh, she's awesome. No, I met
her. Like the coolest chick of all time.
I met her. I hung out with her one night. I think I probably lost my chance. I left her to help my buddy get laid, but so I
hear a good wingman.
So anyway, so that ended up nothing happened. But I mean, I think they said it because we were on a talk show together, and then I met her, and a couple weeks later I was fighting, and she was at the fight, and then they asked her, they came to her, oh, who do you want to win? So she, I think she just picked me because I was the one she knew.
Yeah, right.
And yeah. Like, oh yeah, Chuck, I'm all for Chuck. Mm. And then the UFC. Is smart. So the next fight that she was at, they sat her next to me.
Ah.
So then it became, oh, they must be dating.
She's rad. She'd be great on this show. She's fucking hilarious, dude.
Yeah, she was really cool. I'm she's cool people, but you know, I had her number, but not that ever happened.
So let's get back to the whole branding thing, because it's becoming an issue in UFC now with these guys. UFC was the It was starting to overtake boxing, pretty much. Like, that's all. Nobody was talking about boxing other than Triple G and then the heavyweights, whichever three heavyweights were going at the time. Triple G, Canelo, and then, you know, Fury.
Yeah, Fury, Joshua, and the Gypsy King.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was new too.
Pretty much those five
that
guys.
That was new too. That for a long time stretch there in boxing.
Yeah.
I didn't know who the heavyweight champ was.
Right.
When I was in high school, when I was, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was at high school and college, if you didn't know who the heavyweight champ was, you weren't a man.
Yes.
You're not a real man.
That's how you tell That's how you tell somebody who's like a Russian spy or something, like, hey, who's the heavyweight champ? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Bam. Fuck you.
That's because it was Eastern Europeans, the Klitschkos.
Well, I mean, that was in the 2010s, bro. We're talking about the 90s.
No.
I mean, that his era lasted 15 or something years.
A long time, too. And Tyson Fury's the one who beat him up for 8 years.
Yeah, back then, I remember being in Vegas. And I saw a heavyweight championship fight. They're offering 2-for-1 tickets.
But that's how it is now, right?
I was like,
those five guys, and a lot of people know that Ryan Garcia kid just because of the Instagram videos he makes of him punching. He's like, he's got fast hands and he punches like a fucking mule kicks. But
I haven't seen any of his actual fights. What's his name? Trying to fight him.
Oh, really?
Canelo?
Jake?
No, you were just talking about him from the UFC, the little guy.
Cejudo. Really?
Yeah, I was just talking to his guy.
Cejudo's a wrestler, isn't he?
Yeah.
He went to the training center instead of going to college.
I think that kid would light Cejudo up, to be honest.
But
they might make a lot of money.
That's probably a big paycheck. Yeah. That's what he's looking
at. But that's so... We only know maybe five or so guys in boxing. UFC was taking over, especially during COVID when they were the only sport going during a lot of the year. Now with this Triller shit and with the Paul brothers in general and then... other people are going to start doing it.
You know, honestly, I think this type of stuff, I don't think is the same. It's not the same fan base, really.
It's not, but it's...
It's not the same fan base. It just isn't. I mean, you're talking about a lot of these people won't watch fights. They don't want... Boxing, what they're trying to do is just trying to get people to watch.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, and you put real fights on the card, hopefully they go, hey, I like that. That was a good fight too. Let me watch that one next time.
Well, it was a really good idea for Showtime to put this one on for sure. And I'm sure Mayweather being involved sealed the deal on that one, but it does legitimize what the Paul brothers are doing.
Yeah,
being on Showtime.
And speaking of which, is that I don't know if you chatted with him about it, but if he beats Woodley, does he fight Mayweather next? Because I watched the press conference last night. It didn't seem like Mayweather wanted to fight anymore. Like, he kept saying he was old a million times, and he was very apologetic almost for not being able to knock him out. And he kept saying, well, he was holding me, and I'm 44 years old, and I can't go against a 20-year-old anymore.
But he was really positive about it. He did a good job and blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to venture to guess that if they offered him another $100 million to fight another YouTube...
The way he goes through money, he's probably going to have to, right?
But even without that, I mean, if he offered... $100 million to find another YouTube star, like, you think it's a question? Like, duh. Ariel Helwani called me up and asked me, hey man, I heard a rumor you're gonna fight Tyson for $10 million. I said, I haven't heard anything about it, but if he's got $10 million to fight him,
let's go.
Let's go.
I'm
ready to go.
Hold on.
Let me all lace up right now.
Yeah.
So what is I agree that it is two different fan bases, but you're talking about market share on entertainment, right? So you're still dipping into the same pool in a lot of ways. How do people like Cejudo, I mean, maybe he does fight Ryan Garcia, but how do people like Cejudo, Ngannou, et cetera, Adesanya, all these guys, how do they make a bigger name for themselves? Because everybody, you can't come out and be disingenuous.
Well, those are three completely different situations. Henry just happens to be so small that some people don't really want to pay attention to those weight classes, which is just
for sure.
The testament to what it is. Francis Ngannou doesn't speak the best English in the world and is a very humble and genuine man. He just has crazy knockout power. So it's interesting to watch.
Right.
But outside of the ring, he leaves a little to be desired.
He needs to hire a PR team.
And Israel Adesanya is arguably the biggest star in the sport right now. Or right there beside Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Talent-wise, but...
No. Starstruck-wise,
he's the
dude. One
of the things I think some of them people need to do, too, is you really do need to have someone and some interview training and training as far as how you want to be... right?
Maybe
WWE has it. So they were paying John Cena for a while, and then Freddie Prinze Jr. was doing it. The actor.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, Josh Wolf,
yeah,
have a show together for a long time.
They do.
Yeah.
And by the way, Freddie said John Cena was a fucking asshole. He would walk in and he'd be like, man, if you're not born with fucking personality, then, you know, you're just not fucking meant for this.
John Cena learned Mandarin to apologize to China.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Like, here's the thing. Like, and that's not true. Like, and UFC, when I was first starting out, mm-hmm. they're like, man, you need to do better in your interviews. I'm like, okay, how? What do you mean? Right. What do you want me to do? And back then, too, like, believe me, the most interviewers had no, they didn't know the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Even the good ones, they're lucky if they read the one sheet.
I mean,
sheet.
Other than Joe.
They read the one sheet. And right. They didn't know. They didn't know what to ask you. They asked the dumbest question. Like, before I fought Tito the first time, I got an interview coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to her, we were working on just my volume. And I mm-hmm. tend to speak low. So that she's like, you're talking to two, I need you at an eight.
Yeah.
When you're on radio. And I need to, but you know, do a few basic things. But she had me write down the 10 most common questions I get. And then I wrote up all these questions, and she's crossing them all out. She goes, you got two questions here, and they both suck. And they're the most common questions I get, because no one really knows what to ask you.
Yeah.
And she goes, look, do me a favor. Go out there, answer the question, because that's where you get stuck. If you're, I can talk. If I'm with, like, all my interviews, my best interviews are with, like you know, you get, like, someone like a Johnny Carson, or like a
Ross Patterson, yeah.
Ross Patterson. The guys you can talk and ask, they make it interesting.
It's a conversation.
It's a conversation. Yeah, it's not, I can, like, have a conversation with list, you, right? Yeah. So, you know, so you got to get it. Just take that question, answer yes or no, and then talk about what you want to talk about for about a minute and a half. So I want you to talk about whatever you need. You need to get out there for about a minute and a half, and then they will draw from that.
Yep.
And the thing that happens is, now you make the guy that didn't do his homework, didn't do his thing, you made him look good.
Yeah.
And so next time your name comes up, oh, I want that guy. I want him to win.
What's a two-way street with the press, right? You got to train them on how to fucking ask the right questions, right? I mean, other than Goldberg and fucking Joe, nobody knew anything about MMA.
I was going everywhere I went was like, they're like, he barely knew who I was.
So you're a fighter.
Yeah, you're a fighter, and so what? So is it like WWE?
Because most people still had, like, the early UFCs.
Yeah.
The bare knuckle, no rules, 30-minute long, or whatever the fuck it was, or tough man competitions and shit like that, or boxing. Those are the two kind of fighting they didn't.
Yeah.
America, kickboxing.
Do you even train here? Like, do you guys train or just get out? Get up and go fight. Yeah, no. we train a little bit, yeah.
So there is somebody there that does that. There is somebody there that coaches you on interviews.
Well, you whether you can get them. I went out and got one.
Oh, you did it outside.
Man, you're doing so good. I'm like, yeah, it's like, Dana, I'm like, it's like you tell me, if I told you your punch sucks, and you go, I go, but just fix it.
Yeah.
Is that going to help you at all?
Yeah.
You can be able to fix it. But, like, you know, but they, that man, your interview is so great. I'm like, yeah, I got a coach.
I wonder if they have something like PI.
One of the things where this made me think about it was when we were talking, is one of the things she did was, like, I'd answer a question. And she, like, one of the ones that I asked, she asked my answer to.
This is the one that was why, training you.
Yeah, it was the one that was training me. Yeah, yeah. I asked her, she asked me why. I'm like, one of the reasons I talk about not getting in fights in the street for the most part was that. You know, hit a guy. I don't want to break my hand and have to and have to not fight for a while. Mm-hmm. You, that can happen, you know. But and she's like, no, I don't want to hear that. You're my hero. Like, I don't want to hear that you're worried about your hand getting broken. It was always just something funny I said at the end. Like, you know, because I don't. If you commit a fighting offense, I'm gonna hit you anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about my hand getting broke. And I've never broken.
I've heard you say the phrase "commit a fighting offense" like 1,000 times, and it never gets old. I really enjoy it. Just coming out of your face, because it sounds like something somebody would say in the fucking Old West or something, right before they lit somebody up in a fucking alleyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then look, after this gig, we're getting ready to hop on a plane and go back to Austin on Icebreakers podcast tonight. Who is your guest? Is it Aaron Carter? Because you're going to you're actually doing another celebrity fight.
Yeah.
In Atlantic City, you're going to be the referee for Aaron Carter and Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
Is it Aaron Carter on tonight? Yes.
And then Lamar is on next Monday. We're doing both this week.
Just nice. Get it out before the fight.
Yeah. Sure.
And then
it was nice. I got to talk to both of them. About before the fight. You know, I think it's going to be a more interesting fight now that I've talked to both of them. Aaron's really into it. Looks like he's been training. He's really got, and he really thinks he's going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar thinks he's going to win it in like 30 seconds. And it's like, whatever. I'm just going to run through him. Just stop it early. Don't hurt him. Don't let me hurt him.
Right.
You know, it's like, But I'm training. I'm not overlooking him. But it sounds like to me when I hear that, I'm like, okay, is this guy training for it? Because and even though
you're making a bunch of drinker bros want to bet on Aaron Carter right now.
I'm gonna bet on Aaron Carter in this fight. I'm telling you right now.
Because and he's the people underdog. People say these have both been out in front of crowds a lot. You know, yeah. Both of them. No problem. But it's different. It's always different for going out there and fighting in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking out, now you're going to go out and fight. Neither one of them
with your shirt off.
Neither one of them
fought. That's weird.
Giorgio said that Aaron Carter interview that is going to air tonight on this channel is one of the best podcasts ever.
Yeah, Aaron he's really lovable, really likable. Like he made Chuck want to bet on him in a fight. So if that's testament to anything about how good the interview is.
I like the kid, man. He's been through a lot, and he's working through it.
If somebody had given me $10 million when I was, like, fucking 15 years old, I would be dead.
Yeah.
He like, sold 10 so million dead. Records before he was 10.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, that's true, because he wasn't even with Dizzy yet. That was independent because of his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great 9/11 story, and he has two great...
Wait, was he involved in
9/11? Yeah, did he? Was he
Look, you're going to have to watch Icebreakers if you want to hear the story.
Wait, we're going
to
watch it. If you heard it here first,
Aaron Carter was on the plane and
survived 9/11, yeah. He was the only one. I'm kidding. We have no idea.
But Estelle Getty was responsible for 9/11. Everybody knows that.
Yes, from the Golden
Girls. I've been saying that for years.
R.I.P., though, obviously.
Well...
R.I.P. to her. and then Lamar Odom, what was he like when you chatted with
aloof?
Him?
Aloof.
He was just kind of
that's what it seemed
all
like
over the place, and it was a little. I mean, he was just kind of like looked like he was kind of doing the interview for go through motions, and okay, I'm just doing this, and you know, they both called out Jake Paul, I think.
Good
like,
luck.
But like,
maybe Aaron. How old is Aaron?
Aaron actually said it very respectful. So, well, maybe two, I'll do some more 2-3 years down the road. I'll be ready for. I'll go for Jake. Like I was, okay, you know, this is really like give a realistic time frame.
People like combat sports, and these kids who are entertainers and know how to be entertainers, getting involved in it is good for everybody. To be honest, I mean, it seemed like a big joke at first, but the direction they're pushing everything about how much production quality is going to go up and how much money is going to come into the sport. Well, it's good. I think it's good for everybody.
And if you win, that is shareable content that you always talk about off air. Yeah. That you're like, dude. It goes a million miles more than just one fight.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing for there. It's boxing, right?
Right.
Because that's they pick it because that's the simplest.
There's only so much.
That's the simplest combat sport.
Right.
Right.
It's the simple. There's not. There's only. I mean, really, what 4 punches you really throw?
Yeah. And since you're refereeing, how long do you let it go? Knowing what an audience wants to see, right? You never want to see an early stoppage. For you, have you ever refereed before?
Yeah, I've done it before. I've done it quite a few times.
I mean, when you're running a fight camp for somebody, you're the ref during the sparring and shit all the time. Right? Yeah,
but you know, here's the thing, man. I know what I can look at guys, and I know when guys want out. I know when guys are trying to get you to let them out. And you know, to me the way, just for fans, if you're acting and you're just trying to get out. I'll let it go a little bit longer.
Yeah. If you're not hurt,
you're just trying to look for it out because you're tired.
Yeah, fuck
that. I can read that over. I can look at you and tell what you're doing. So you're not going to get let out early if you're just trying to, because the pants paid for it. So we're going to watch it.
But
on the other side of that too, like I can tell when someone's hurt and I can tell when a guy's fighting out on his feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's.
Have you seen any of Lamar's training videos or anything? I haven't seen.
I haven't either. Yeah,
but it doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would have like instant knockout power. You know what I mean?
Maybe
I
just don't see that. The chicken ranch.
You never know.
It's true. Money ranch.
That's man, true. Look, think about Hearns.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Hearns was lanky, skinny guy, but man, he had at the end
or
of,
even that. What's the
lightning at the end of those punches?
Sean, whatever his name is, the kid with the colorful hair.
Sean O'Malley.
Yeah, that kid. Now, I mean, he's like a buck 60, right? And he fucking.
He's got crack.
He slings it. That's true.
Well, yeah. So
he's like 6 foot tall, I think.
He's 5'11". Yeah, I think he's pretty tall.
He parties. He's got a cool personality. Everybody loves that guy.
He's young. It's too bad he fucked his foot up in that fight.
Yeah, he was partying with Jake Paul after that fight.
Oh yeah, he was. That's right.
Yeah, he was there. Tell everybody where they can watch the fight on Friday night. What's the app?
I think fight.tv.
Oh, the FIT.
FIT.
Yeah. We use that for pretty much everything. Actually,
I think it's on most cable pay-per-view too. I think
it is. Yeah.
And but also, I think for them, If you can, buy it on Fight TV.
Yeah. Do we have an app for that?
Yeah, we have the app at the office. It's $29.99, I believe.
I'm not sure, actually. Yeah.
It's not bad.
I think that was the price. Who else is on the undercard, do you know?
You know, there's... Man, I'm terrible with this. There's some YouTube guys. There's a couple guys, people I don't know.
Oh, shit. Are those TikTokers on the fucking thing?
There's some TikTok, yeah.
I saw them last night promoting it. Okay. I know who those are. I'll watch those fucking kids. Barstool's doing a gig with those guys. Bryce something.
This is a little different than these things. It's a celebrity boxing. It's going to be, you know, guys.
Yeah.
But it should be, if these guys get after it, hopefully, and we'll have some fun.
I'm in. I can't wait to watch it live from Atlantic City Friday nights.
Friday night, yes.
Friday night on Fights. And then tonight on Icebreakers Podcast, you'll have Aaron Carter on, followed by Lamar Odom on Wednesday. And then you got Matthew McConaughey on next week. Mm. Did you ask him about running for governor?
Yes, I did.
Great.
We'll see what he has to say about
that. Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
From the clips we've already posted.
Great. It was great talking to him, man. I really like
it. We had a good time with him, too.
He's the best.
I really like the guy.
He's smart. He's super smart. He's very thoughtful. But, like, you ask him anything, he's going to answer it, and he'll give you, like, a legit, thoughtful response. I like where his head's at.
He's genuinely never changed in 25 years or what. I mean, I knew him 20 years ago. He's never fucking changed. Great guy, dude. It's just an awesome dude.
Yeah, it's nice to, because there's so many cunts, to be honest.
Yeah.
That are famous. It's nice, like, to meet people like you that are just normal. Like,
normal dudes.
You and I just hang out and fuck around all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure Matt's the same way. It's nice to know that there are fucking normal human beings out there.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a couple.
There's a lot of fucking weirdos, too.
Yeah, and we've enjoyed the weekend with you. Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I'm technically normal.
I'm not saying you're not a weirdo.
But a better... abnormal?
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming out. This has been a blast this weekend. Watch Chuck's fights on Friday night on Fights, and then tune into Icebreakers tonight for the Aaron Carter interview, as well as Wednesday with Lamar Odom, and then Matthew McConaughey next week on Icebreakers Podcast. You can find that on our YouTube channel.
Yep.
And then if you don't have the audio subscription, it's on iTunes, Spotify, everything else. Always free. Please rate and review Icebreakers Podcast. Give it a 5-star and a quick review. That's what helps keep it in the charts. Chuck, thanks for your time, buddy. We had a great weekend. Looking forward to the next one.
We recorded another show while you were gone with this. I'm teasing it out the audience now because it's such a crazy fucking story. And I actually reached out to Evan, and he reached out to the Special Forces community to verify that all the shit is true. It's about this Special Forces captain named Flaherty,
okay,
that was homeless here in Miami, right? And some Miami-Dade PD guy just fucking happened upon him one day. They became friends and hung out. And then 10 days before the guy died in a mysterious hit and run, he started telling him about all of his Special Forces experience and how he worked for the agency and blah, 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 right?
Right.
And the guy was 4'9" and weighed 100 pounds. Well, I've got pictures of him in his uniform. I've got his official DA records. This is all real. It's the craziest fucking story you're ever going to hear.
When did you do it?
We recorded it when you were on the plane, when you were delays on Thursday, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll come out probably. Actually, did it come out last? Was that the one for last night?
No.
Tomorrow night.
Holy
so stay tuned. I think his Richard Flaherty, but it is the wildest goddamn story I've ever heard. And I literally, as soon as I saw what the fuck was happening, and this is right before the show was going on, I called Evan. I'm like, dude, this sounds like too crazy to be real.
What did he say? What did Evan say?
He was like, I've never heard of him, but I'll run it up the chain. And he said, there's a group of former Special Forces guys and record keepers that are the unofficial historians of the Green Berets, right?
Yeah.
And they know everything. They found his entire service record, everything. And it's all legit. This dude is a fucking was a badass. Like, he was fucking 4'9" or 4'10", depending on which listing you look at. But 97 to 100 pounds is usually what he's listed as.
4'9" is the maximum legal height for a midget.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think he had to
LP Ross.
Somebody helped him get into the military, because
you're not allowed. Right.
Five foot is the limit. You have to be 5 foot or taller. Not only did he do that, but he was a triple volunteer. Volunteered for the military during a time of war, right? During Vietnam, fucking Nam. Then he went to airborne school. Then he went to fucking selection special forces. You know what I mean?
Man,
like, what the fuck?
That's dope.
most of the adult males I know can't do that.
No, let alone somebody who's 4'9".
Even at, you know, 19, 20, yeah, I don't know how he did it, honestly. And it's too bad that he fucking ended up on the fucking streets of Miami homeless.
Man, look, that'll air tomorrow night. I'm amped to
watch
it.
It's a wild story. And then they have a documentary coming out about him, too, so there'll be a lot more information.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. So looking forward to that. Look, that's why you subscribe. Drinking Bros Podcast on YouTube. All of our shows here on Tetherball Academy Media are on there, and all of them are video as well. For Chuck Liddell, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.